Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in a Monday edition of the show. Glad to have you with us live from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville. And boy, do we have a lot to get to coming out of the weekend. Of course, Friday evening, Trey Kaufman officially picked Purdue, and we'll talk about that today, his decision, his choice, and also from an IU perspective, where the Hoosiers must turn now for recruiting in the current senior class, the class of 2021. Indiana football gets a big win, a little slow start, maybe a sluggish start's a good way to say it, but they get it rolling, especially in the second half. They record a nice road win at Rutgers. I think Rutgers is a pretty solid team and will have a decent year in the Big Ten Conference. And so Indiana now 2-0 in conference play. They're moving up and up in the Associated Press and the coaches' poll rankings and continuing to set new marks there, which is exciting to see. So we'll cover that today. And from a high school perspective, we got all sorts of stuff. First off, Providence soccer wins a state championship. The boys soccer team won a state title this weekend. Third time they had been to the state championship game. This is the first time, though, that they won the state championship, brought the trophy back to Southern Indiana with them. They defeated Argos on Saturday to win the 1A soccer title in the state of Indiana. And then, of course, on Friday, football was a little slower than what we expected because Providence, their game canceled. The Pioneers automatically moved on when Mitchell had to pull out because of COVID-19 positives. New Albany, we've known for a few weeks now, they got the bye in the 5A sectional, and they wouldn't play a semifinal game because Bedford North Lawrence withdrew from the tournament, again, because of COVID-19. So one game instead of three on Friday night, the second week of the playoffs of the state tournament, and boy, was it a dandy, a game we carried here on the Big X. Jeffersonville, the third time this season that they played at Floyd Central, they knock off in a big upset. I think it's one of the biggest upsets of the tournament so far. A really good Floyd Central team on Friday night. And, of course, the crazy thing is it's the third time they've played. None of them have been close. Floyd Central has absolutely put it to the Red Devils those first two times. Much different this time in the third meeting. Jeffersonville got off to a good start. In fact, Jeff jumped to a 14-0 lead and able to hang on in a really good game with some big and exciting moments in that contest. And so now it sets up Jeffersonville and New Albany this Friday night for the Class 5A Sectional 16 Championship game. So in high school football, we'll talk more about this, but we've got three teams that will compete over two sectionals for championship games coming up on Friday night. So a chance to have two winners locally go on to the regional. We're guaranteed of a sectional champion in the Jeff New Albany game locally, and of course Providence has some work cut out for them in their sectional title game coming up on Friday night. Let's get into the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll start with our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. The IU win, Trey Kaufman recruiting for Indiana, some high school notes. We'll cover that and more coming up in the opening segment. Also later in the show today, it's Monday, so Zach Osterman is with us. He's the perfect guest this time of year to join us to kickstart the week from an IU perspective. With Zach, we'll talk IU football, their win on the road this weekend, how good is this Indiana team, and we'll talk IU basketball, mainly recruiting, Where does Indiana turn from here, not getting Trey Kaufman when he announced for Purdue on Friday night? So we'll cover those topics and more with Zach. And then Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director, former coach, boys and girls coach in basketball at Jeffersonville, and currently the IHSA executive board president for this year. He joins us as we talk local sports and high school sports here in Clark and Floyd County. And again, as I said to start the show, we've got a lot of things to talk about from a local and a high school perspective as well. So Chad will join us for all of that and more later in the program. That's the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out the new dinner package deals that are being offered at Honey Baked Ham. You can dine in, you can take them to go, and curbside service, they're available as well. It's available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's check out our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Indiana gets off to a slow start. Ultimately, they win on the road at Rutgers, 37-21. Michael Penix, I thought, looked great for the most part. Again, this weekend, Indiana 2-0 in the Big Ten Conference. The first 2-0 start in league play for the IU program since the 1991 season. So obviously, that tells you what a year, what a start this is for Indiana football, who still has some very big matchups coming. Michigan and Ohio State. Again, some big, big conference games still ahead for this team in this crazy all-conference season in the Big Ten. Friday night, we learned that Trey Kaufman, there was somewhat of a leak supposedly on Thursday, but we officially learned his announcement when it was released at 6 p.m. that he would choose Purdue over Indiana, Indiana State, Virginia, and North Carolina. Said he'd like to maybe play out on the floor a little bit, play the three position for the Boilermakers, which was interesting. And he'll team with Caleb First of Fort Wayne Blackhawk Christian, who's another top player in this 2021 in-state class in Indiana. So for the first time in, I guess, 4 years, Indiana doesn't get a Mr. Basketball. That award's obviously not been named, but it's very likely that that winner is going to be Kaufman or First. Rivals this season in high school hoops will compete together in their freshman year at Purdue. And where does Indiana turn from here as far as recruiting goes? I think you've got to look at four-star Mason Miller, a forward, and five-star small forward Aminu Muhammad. The recruitment from the IU coaches of those players must become even more important and more hot and heavy than what it probably already is. Because you think about Indiana's 2021 class, and we're not getting late by any stretch of the imagination, and there's a lot of unknown in college basketball right now because the recruiting stuff is all dead. You can't make visits to schools. Coaches can't come see you play or in practice or in-home visits or anything like that right now. But really, it's Logan Duncombe for Indiana. That's what they have committed. That's where they're at right now. Now, they've been in with a number of players. There's thought that Mason Miller could potentially choose Indiana. I read a report last week that Indiana and Creighton were his two favorite schools as he begins to make the path down his final stretches of recruitment. Aminu Muhammad, there's a ton of schools involved with him. It sure seems like Indiana's in a pretty good spot, but again, with out-of-state players, and I think Trey Kaufman proved even with in-state players, you don't ultimately know exactly where things stand, especially on out-of-state, especially when there's so many schools involved. And Aminu Muhammad would be an unbelievable save to the 2021 class, and I'll call it an unbelievable addition as well if Indiana could get him in the fold. So those are the two big names. That's been the number one question since Trey committed on Friday to Purdue, is where does Indiana go from here? There's really no one else in the state of Indiana. Blake Wesley up at South Bend, his recruitment has really kind of cooled off in recent months from Indiana. Who knows if that could maybe be reinvigorated or not, but it doesn't look like at this time that he would pick Indiana. Who knows? I think he's supposed to cut his list down to a finalist or two very soon. But again, out of state, it looks like where things will go from Indiana, at least from this point forward. One other thing to keep in mind in the 2021 class is because everyone's basically playing a redshirt year this year. Everyone gets another year of eligibility in college sports, spring last year, football this year, fall this year, I should say, and, of course, basketball in winter this year as well. There could be Joey Brunk or a player stay that we don't expect to stay, to come back for another year of senior eligibility. And I also think because of everything going on, and that extra year of eligibility, there will be a lot of transfers. The transfer portal has hit unbelievable numbers in recent years, and I think that number is only going to grow once we get through the 2020-21 college basketball season. I think we'll see another record as far as transfers go. One other quick recruiting note from an IU basketball perspective. I'm amazed at how much you guys like recruiting information. That's probably the number one thing outside of the season when actual games are going on that I hear from or get questions from you about. But a player named Bruce Thornton, he's ranked number 34 in the 24/7 composite rankings from the class of 2022. So he's a junior this year in high school basketball. He put out over the weekend that he's cut his list to five. Ohio State, Indiana, Purdue, Alabama, and Georgia are in the final five for Thornton. He's 6 foot, 295-pound point guard out of Alpharetta, Georgia, Milton High School. So, again, he's already making some cuts, getting it done early for a junior in high school, and Indiana tracking him very closely as he's now in their top five. And that's really, I think, unless it's an in-state situation like a Romeo or a Trey or a Keon Brooks or anyone you really want to name that you know from their freshman year, sometime you even know an eighth grader around that middle school time frame, that's when you really can start tracking in-state players because there's so much drama, there's so much interest. They play all the time. They normally play for very successful high school teams. But out-of-state players, really, when they put you in the top five, you know, because some of these guys have 20 schools and they'll say they're going to do a list cut and they'll cut from 20 to 10, and 10 is still a lot of schools. But when you cut to five or four or three, to me, that's when you really should start paying attention to that specific player in detail to see if they are actually going to commit to Indiana or what Indiana's chances truly are with that potential prospect. But Thornton, a young guy, getting it cut early, and Indiana's in the mix for him as well. A couple IU football notes from the game on Saturday or falling out from the game on Saturday. Indiana's now number 13 in the Associated Press poll. Number 13 is the best ranking for the Hoosiers in the AP poll since they were number 11 on October 31st, 1987. So many years ago for this Indiana team, but now they are number 13 in the Associated Press poll, which is really awesome to see. Football as well, the coaches poll, Indiana now at number 13 in the Amway coaches poll as well. So Indiana getting a lot of love out there as far as its ranking goes in the country. They're ahead of a lot of big-name football programs because of how crazy of a season this has been with coronavirus and injuries and people out on quarantine. Indiana's really ranked ahead of a lot of big-name college football programs that are out there. And as far as bowl projections, I really enjoy looking at this every week. I'm not sure that you guys do, but Indiana projected by 247 Sports for the Citrus Bowl against Auburn, which is a Florida Bowl. I like Florida Bowls. CBS Sports has them in the Music City Bowl against Arkansas. One of the ESPN writers has them in the Outback Bowl against LSU. Another ESPN writer, the Outback Bowl against Arkansas. College Football News has them in the Pinstripe Bowl against Virginia Tech. And so, again, I think a Florida Bowl would be really big for this team again this season if they can get to one of those Florida Bowls and the Citrus Bowl. This is now the second week that Indiana's been mentioned for that bowl. To me, that really, unless something crazy happens and Indiana beats Michigan or beats Ohio State and makes some sort of run at the Big Ten championship, to me, the Citrus Bowl would be an ideal landing spot for this team, not only for the experience this year, but for recruiting as well. And who knows what sports and what bowl games will look like if we get to that part of the season. I think we will. I don't know that there'll be a lot of fans outside of family like we've seen for the Big Ten Conference games this season, but I hope we get there and hope Indiana can find their way to a big bowl. A Florida Bowl would be great for the program for a second consecutive year. Also, high school notes, a number of things I want to run to. I mentioned that Providence, third trip to the state finals, first time they won it. Class 1A state championship coming back to Providence. Providence was ranked second. They beat number one Argos 2-1 in the state final that was played at Fishers High School. So congratulations to Providence. They finished the year 17-3, had a great year. That's really a great soccer program. Boys and girls, they've led the way in many ways here in our local area in southern Indiana. And the boys winning a state championship in 1A, kind of just the next step for the Providence soccer program. Also, Jeffersonville with a 35-28 upset in football over number 7 Floyd Central in Class 5A Sectional 16, the semifinals on Friday. I've had both coaches on a lot this year. Coach Bragg of Floyd Central has been great to talk to. The Highlanders have been really good. They were my prediction, I think many people's predictions before the season began, as far as to have the best regular season and to have the best opportunity for a local team to win a sectional championship and make it to the regional. Obviously, that didn't happen. They got upset Friday night. But still, a really good campaign put together by a Floyd Central program that's really strong. And Jeffersonville, again, we talked to the coaches about this, third time they played. That doesn't happen in many sports at all. Really, basketball might for certain teams if you play in the regular season and you play in a holiday tournament and then you play in the same sectional and you draw each other, end up playing each other in the sectional. But in football, outside of the 5A teams, New Albany, Jeff, and Floyd, you never see each other, it seems, twice in the regular or in the season. But if you do, it's once in the regular season and once in the sectional. Because of the virus, because of so many games moved around and canceled to start the year, Floyd and Jeff played in week one just to kind of as a bonus game so the teams didn't have to sit idle. They could actually get things underway. Then, of course, in the middle part of the season, they played for the conference as far as the conference meeting that counted toward the conference standings. And so when they drew each other out of the gate in the sectional, I think everybody just kind of laughed. But no one thought it would be that competitive of a game. But again, third time's the charm for Jeffersonville as they're able to find a way to come up with just a huge win. Isaac Parker's team needed that win. It's big for Jeffersonville as they move on to take on rival New Albany. And really, New Albany's probably the favorite in that game, but I don't know by how much because New Albany hasn't played for two Fridays. They got a bye game one week, all the 5A teams did. And then last week, their opponent, Bedford North Lawrence, had withdrew from the tournament. So New Albany comes into the game a little cold. Jeffersonville's hot after winning at Floyd Central on Friday and really having a decent close to the regular season as well. So that's going to be one of the big ones Friday, I think, and we'll obviously have coverage of that and a lot more surrounding that game coming up this week here on the Big X. Also, a quick shout-out to some volleyball teams. I tell you what, Providence, so close to getting it done on Saturday night in the championship game of the semi-state. They took on Yorktown, who was undefeated and remains undefeated as they move on to the state final in Class 4A. But how about the Pioneers? They've had unbelievable teams. This was one of their really good teams, not an unbelievable team, I don't think you'd classify it as, but they still put together a great run this season and in the tournament and had the number one ranked and undefeated Yorktown team on the ropes in the semi-state championship game. So hats off to them. Also, Silver Creek as well. They battled but couldn't get it done in the 3A semi-state also at Jennings County on Saturday. So the volleyball season for our local teams has now come to a close as well. And that's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Monday edition of the program. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, all IU. We'll talk IU football, the win at Rutgers, and, of course, the upcoming game for the Hoosiers against Michigan. It's a big, big period for this Indiana team. Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, the next three games for this Indiana team. We'll talk that. We'll talk Trey Kaufman and IU basketball recruiting, where they go from here with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. That's next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Monday program. Had a lot of people write in today or this morning and say, hey, are you going to have Trey Kaufman on the program to discuss his decision, to interview him with his decision like you do some of the other players? If you missed that, we did. We had a special Trey Kaufman commitment special on Friday evening in the 6 o'clock hour. We had his decision followed by Coach Hoffman of Silver Creek, and Trey Kaufman, of course, joined us as well. And then once he made the commitment to Purdue, we added Brian Newbert of GoldenBlack.com to the lineup. So that podcast available in the same locations that you find the Hoosier Report. Just search for the Hoosier Report in Apple Podcast or SoundCloud. But I'd say we had a 15, 18-minute interview with Trey, very well spoken, spelled out his decision, his reasons why for Purdue, and talked about some of his goals moving forward as well, and very gracious to join us for that that interview after his decision on Friday night. In this segment right now, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star joins. We'll get to Trey Kaufman and IU basketball recruiting here in just a moment. But for first, Zach, I want to talk about Indiana football's road win at Rutgers, 2-0 from the first time since 1991. This IU football team is now number 13, up to number 13 in the AP and the coaches poll. This is a really big start for Coach Allen and his troops.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to make of polls, you know, this season. And I even was trying to look up some stats yesterday, kind of running back through the game and some things that kind of occurred to me as I watched it over again. And I realized that I'm not even really going to be able to use, you know, nationwide stats to compare Indiana kind of across the sport this year, because, you know, there's going to be a lot of statistics that, you know, if we're talking about raw numbers, just won't line up, because the Big Ten's only going to play 8 games. They've only played 2. The SEC's played 6. The ACC's played 6. So, you know, in one, you know, from one perspective, you kind of look at everything from this season as though it's sort of slightly off its axis. But I will say the thing that strikes me most is about Indiana, sort of most fundamentally, and it doesn't guarantee them anything going forward, but I remember thinking about this and writing about this in the aftermath of the Gator Bowl. I said that there's going to sort of be this strange reckoning coming for IU and really for its fans, because on the one hand, the fan base is predisposed to and, you know, is conditioned toward fatalism, you know, and skepticism to the point of cynicism. And you understand that if you've seen IU football over any length of time and all of its shortcomings, all of its disappointments, and on and on. But I also said that the thing that's going to run counter to that is this is a good football team. And I don't mean to sound arrogant when I say this, but in the same way that I sometimes defer to people who grew up here talking about, you know, basketball and the culture around a good basketball team and the mechanics of a good basketball team. I've watched a lot of basketball in my day, but as somebody who grew up in Georgia, football is what I know. And you know, what I just sort of know intrinsically, this is a good football team. It's I don't know if it's great anywhere. I suspect possibly in its secondary and quite possibly at quarterback as well. But more than where it's maybe great is just that there's nowhere where it's bad. And that is something you can trace back to the last 2 or 3 years. That's not a product of a weird schedule or a disrupted off season or, you know, drawing a couple good matchups early in the year. It's just a product of good recruiting, good team building, good development, good staffing, and now good performances on the field. And I thought Saturday was another one of those.
Areas, and I don't want to be the guy that brings negativity to the conversation, because I think there's a whole bunch to be excited about with this Indiana team. But as you look at Michigan at home, at Michigan State the following week, and then at Ohio State that next week, it's quite a run coming up for this Indiana team where if we don't know what they're made of yet, I think we will very soon. As you've watched game one against Penn State, the big win, first road win at Rutgers on Saturday, game two, what are the areas that you think Indiana needs to shore up as they enter this interesting 3-game stretch?
Well, I certainly think, you know, the offense has got to be more consistent. And some of that is down to line play. I think Indiana's interior offensive line is still struggling. And I think that's an area where, you know, if you kind of look at these next 3 games, you're right to bring up, you know, Michigan at Michigan State, at Ohio State. You're talking about 3 teams that could probably really exploit, you know, some inconsistent offensive line play. You don't want to be overly critical of the receivers. I mean, again, looking back at Saturday's game, Michael Penix starts 3 of 10, but those first seven incompletions, there's at least four or five that you could really classify as drops. And certainly ones where maybe if Penix takes a little bit of heat off the pass, it might be a little bit more catchable. But at the same time, you know, if you want to be a receiver on a good football team, you got to be ready to catch an NFL level pass. And I'm not suggesting Michael Penix is, you know, an NFL level prospect yet, but certainly he's got the arm talent for it. I don't think anybody denies that. Those are probably the biggest things. I mean, you know, defensively, are there areas Indiana could improve? Well, sure. But nobody's really found one consistent way to hurt Indiana yet this season. And it's only been two games, so let's not overstate it. But, you know, I mean, Penn State racked up some yards and some points, but as I think we discussed last week, you know, it's, you have to kind of weight that next to the huge disparity in total snaps and total time of possession in that game, which again comes back to the offense's, you know, maybe sort of stop and go beginning to the season. And you've also got to you got to look at the way that defense adjusts from week one to week two. So, for example, Sean Clifford really hurts Indiana with his legs in week one down the stretch of that game against Penn State. Next time out, Noah Vedral, a quarterback that gave Indiana some fits when they played at Nebraska last year, just gets completely shut down. You also look at where Indiana maybe has been consistent, six turnovers across three games. You see a lot of really creative things out of that defense. It's clear that that defense trusts itself, that those players at every level trust one another to make plays. I see Kane Womack doing some really, really interesting things with the way he's bringing, you know, quarterback pressures and things like that. And again, when you're talking about these next three games, you're going to need that. Like to win these, any of these next three, you are going to need to be able to, you know, the defense is going to have to maybe help itself a little bit at times. Some turnovers, some big sacks, some big change plays. It can't just necessarily be sort of like with a Michigan, and certainly with an Ohio State, it can't necessarily be a performance where you just say, well, let's just hold them off and hold them off and wait for the offense. You know, that defense is going to have to make its own success, make its own luck a little bit as well. And I think that's encouraging. Yeah, the biggest things I would come back to are again, getting that passing offense into a rhythm quickly. I know I said this, I think, to you in the preseason. I know Tom Allen has said he wants to run the ball better. I feel like every coach says that in the offseason. I'm not really sure. I'm sure Indiana wants to run it more effectively than they have over the first two games, but I'm not really sure that Indiana cares so much if they're rushing for 250 yards a game or not. I think that this offense's heartbeat is in the pass and in getting Michael Penix into advantageous situations, clean pockets, and good route combinations that let him throw to a really good, let's just say it, a really, really good group of receivers and tight ends. So if that interior line blocking cleans up just a little bit, and you know, Penix and his receivers and, you know, to some extent Peyton Hinshott as well, can kind of time things up just a little bit better, I think Indiana can be very, very good offensively going forward this season.
Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star. I've got to talk about this Michigan game. I think Michigan's number 23. Indiana's been close before, but can they get it done this year? Can you see this Indiana team improving to 3-0? It's a home game. I know that maybe doesn't mean as much, except there's no travel because of the fan situation this year in Big Ten football, but can you see this Indiana team winning this game? And I guess Indiana's ranked ahead of Michigan. This has got to be the first time in forever that Indiana goes into this game ahead of them. Is Indiana the favorite in this game?
I think Michigan opened as a favorite yesterday, a slight favorite. I want to say like -2, -1.5, somewhere around there. So it's close to pick 'em at this point. Obviously, we'll see where the money moves over the course of the week. If you are wondering, I tweeted this out earlier today. October 22nd, 1988, Indiana went to Ann Arbor as the number 14 team in the country. This was in the AP poll. Michigan was number 20. Indiana lost by 25 points. So I don't know if Indiana's looking for a repeat of that particular performance. Can Indiana win this game? Yes, I think so. And in a way that, you know, last season's Michigan game had a very weird vibe to it, because I think Michigan struggled early in the year and in particular was struggling around the time that Indiana really hit its straps, you know, and I think some of Michigan's worst performances were right around that time when Indiana was on the run of beating, you know, Maryland, Rutgers, Northwestern, Nebraska. And people looked at Michigan and they said, boy, that's a winnable game. Look at how bad their offense looks. You know, they're really struggling, and that's wedged right between Michigan State and Ohio State, classic trap game. But the truth was that by the time Michigan got to Indiana, it had cleaned up a lot of its problems, was playing very, very good football, and deserved to win comfortably as it did in Bloomington. I don't know that Michigan's there this year, though. You know, their offense is struggling. I think Urban Meyer said at halftime of the IU-Rutgers game that Michigan has not completed a downfield vertical pass yet this season. It's all been crossing routes and rub routes and, you know, just short stuff for Joe Milton. And I think his sync up with his receivers has not been great. The run game looked good against Minnesota, perhaps a little bit less so against Michigan State last weekend. You know, it is far from a vintage Michigan team. Now, if you ask me to pick it, I would probably still lean toward Michigan. I mean, I was literally, again, if you want to go back in the history books, October 24th, 1987, a 14-10 win in Bloomington was the last time Indiana beat Michigan. I think they've only beaten them once since 1967. So you sort of combine history and the confirmation of what we've seen over years and years with the fact that I think there are still some advantageous matchups here for Indiana, or excuse me, for the Wolverines. I think, again, if you talk about defensive line play, I think Michigan's defensive line has an obvious advantage against Indiana's offensive line. I think that is a really, really big question mark for Indiana going into this game. I think that Michigan's still going to feel good about the way that it can match up with Indiana's passing game in the secondary, though perhaps not so good as last year. A couple of important pieces gone from last season. I think the big difference for me, if you're comparing the matchups late last season to early this season, is I'm just not sure yet, and I'm not saying it won't happen, but I don't think we have the confirming evidence necessary to suggest that Michigan's offense is going to be able to move the ball all that easily against Indiana's defense, which looks very, very good through two games. So I think it's going to be, listen, I went into that Michigan game last year hearing a lot of fans saying, oh, we can win this game, and I was feeling very, hey, you know what, like bump the brakes. Michigan's been playing really, really well lately. This isn't the Michigan team that you were seeing lose. I think they might have lost the game like 20-0 kind of midway through last season. I would not necessarily pump those brakes so hard this time. I would make Michigan the favorite. I know what the rankings say, but I do think that this is going to be a closer game, more consistent or more even matchup, let's say. And I think Indiana's got a shot on Saturday. I really do.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. Want to switch gears before we let you go. Basketball and recruiting. Trey Kaufman chose Purdue on Friday night. The number one question I've had, I'm sure you've had this posed to you as well, is where does Indiana turn from here in the 2021 class? Logan Duncan at this time is the only commit. There's some out-of-state players Indiana's been involved with, but what direction does Indiana really need to push now with Trey Kaufman off the board going to an in-state rival school?
Well, I think, you know, one of the obvious names is Mason Miller, a player that it's worth saying Indiana has had on the front burner, you know, kind of on his own for quite a few weeks now, or I shouldn't say weeks, I should say months. You know, even going back, I think I talked to him late in the summer and, you know, we're talking, I want to say it was in either late June or early July. And, you know, even then Mason Miller told me that, that Indiana was one of kind of the schools that was recruiting him the hardest. Of course, he's Mike Miller's son, sort of a stretch forward out of Memphis. I mean, he's his father's son. So I think everyone expects that he should be able to shoot the three fairly well. Not quite as highly rated as Trey Kaufman, according to the recruiting services. But again, a guy who's 6'8", 6'9", you know, can be a little bit of that tweener forward that obviously is such a sort of important position in the modern game. There's also Aminu Muhammad, the five-star sort of wing forward that I think Indiana, again, has been, you know, really kind of heavily involved with here for a while. And it's, you know, it's also interesting too. You know, you even you mentioned Logan Duncombe there. I think people forget Duncombe's already in the fold, and so, you know, I think there was an impression that Indiana has no one committed for 2021. Well, they've already got, you know, sort of their long-term project at center, which I think is something that Archie Miller's always going to want. The question is just how they fill in around him. And there's no denying that Trey Kaufman was a big loss for IU. And you know, it's also just sort of culturally interesting. Kids from Southern Indiana don't go to Purdue very often. In the same way that kids from the region don't often go to IU. It's not like it never happens, but it is rare. And it is, like I said, it is a significant loss in recruiting for Archie Miller. You know, I would, the two things I would say are, number one, nobody gets everybody. And number two, I think, you know, everyone ought to sort of ask themselves, well, how would you feel? How would I feel if Archie Miller had Christian Lander and Logan Duncombe in the fold and then missed on Trey Kaufman? You'd still be disappointed, but you'd say, well, but Indiana's got its, you know, at least one of the big hitters in 2021. Of course, they got Christian Lander reclassified to join this season. I don't mean to sound like, you know, IU basketball's PR shop here. It's not my job to sell on them, to sell their situation moving forward to anybody. But I always kind of look at, you know, moments like this, and while it's undeniable that Indiana would have very much wanted Trey Kaufman, would have made him a big piece of its program, you know, moving forward once he got to Bloomington, and he's a very, very talented player. I think that, you know, you can also, and I say this with around commitments too, you know, it's easy to be a prisoner of the moment recruiting, and it's important for Indiana to continue to have a good in-state presence. But it's not like Trey Kaufman, if anything, kind of bucks the trend in that respect. And as long as it, you know, as long as Trey Kaufman, for Archie Miller's purposes in sort of recruiting the state, looks like an outlier over the course of several years, then you sort of look at it and say, well, listen, you know, sometimes good basketball players want to attend other schools too. And that's just how it happens. That's just how it goes.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, always helps us get rolling on Mondays from an IU perspective. Zach, thanks for the chat.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
The girls' basketball season begins this week officially with games. We had our Clark and Floyd County High School girls' basketball media day last week, and that podcast, if you missed the radio show, is available. Same place you find your Hoosier Report podcast. You can find that as well. Just search for the Hoosier Report at Apple Podcast or on SoundCloud or really wherever you listen to podcasts. We talked to all 12 high school girls basketball coaches from the area, and now this week the season officially gets underway. We'll be back with Chad Gilbert to talk some local sports and some high school stuff. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Monday program. Chad Gilbert with me, former basketball coach in the area at Jeff, currently the Charlestown Athletic Director, also IHSA Executive Board President for this season. We talk local sports each Monday to begin the week. Chad, we want to talk some high school football, and girls basketball begins this week. And I've spent a ton of time on Trey Kaufman Thursday, Friday. Of course, our Friday special show we had at 6 o'clock Friday evening. But you followed his recruiting very closely as well. And you know what a big player he is for the area and what a big get he is for Matt Painter at Purdue. So I wanted to give you an opportunity as a former coach and someone very involved in all this to comment on his decision, his choice to go to Purdue.
You know, Matt, my biggest insight on that would be his mother taught around the corner from me here at Charlestown. She's currently down at Jeffersonville, but she was with me for the last 7 years. we've gotten to develop a good relationship and talk about this recruiting process, all the work he's done in. And let me tell you, they've done the work. They've done everything that you're supposed to do. They've checked off every box on what it takes to be an elite player, whether it's individual training, whether it's working on your body, whether it's starting with a local team and get yourself noticed and get on national teams on the circuit. They've checked off every box. This just isn't something that they've lucked into. And with the process, you know, getting to know about Trey, I don't know Trey well. You know, I just know him when he comes in, polite kid, talks, just say hello, when you're going to move to Charlestown type talk, and that's it. But with him, you know, and talking to his mom in the process, he's put in diligent work. He's watched countless hours of film. He's made a spreadsheet of, you know, the pluses and minuses of each school, how much, you know, a guy at his position touches the ball in each position. And you want to talk about being wise and mature above your years. I mean, this guy's 18 years old and doing all that stuff. I'm not sure at 48 that I would do that right now. And for him to be able to do that, that says a lot about his character and his commitment. So, you know, I know that some people may be upset. I know a lot of people in West Lafayette are happy. And, you know, hats off to those guys up there for being able to pull that off. But, you know, hats off to Trey for making a decision that he feels like he'll fit in the best. Because that, I think the key word to any kid when they go to college is fit. I think you got to go where you fit the best. And obviously he's done the legwork, he's done the research, and he feels like that's the best fit. And I think everybody in Southern Indiana wishes him luck.
Chad Gilbert, my guest. Got to talk some high school football. I was wrong. I thought Floyd Central would be the best team, or I should say the team in the area that had the best opportunity to win a sectional championship. Silver Creek had the best regular season. It's hard to argue with a 9-0 record. And, of course, their sectional's so tough. That's why maybe I didn't tab them as that as we started this football season. But I didn't see Jeffersonville beating Floyd Central. The other two matchups, and it's crazy to think they played three times in high school football this season, but the other two matchups were not competitive, were not close. We carried all three games here on the Big X, and the first two were not even contest at all. The third one, completely different. Jeffersonville came out, built a 14-0 lead, was able to answer back as Floyd Central eventually came back to take the lead and went on to win it 35-28. What a game, and what a win for Isaac Parker's team.
Oh, it was an outstanding game. I was able to watch it Friday night, and it was you know, first let's rewind a little bit. We talked about Silver Creek and Floyd Central's record during the season. We've talked about the Mid-Southern Conference and the Hoosier Hills. Neither one are very strong. Bottom line, no way around it. Neither one of them are very strong, with the exception of Columbus East. So those guys, you can only play who you can play. And those guys, to win the games that they won, they did what they're supposed to do. And that's not an easy thing to do. So for those kids to do that, for those coaches to do that, that's an outstanding accomplishment. Once you get into the tournament, like in every sport in high school, it's one and done. And you don't have to be the best team. You just have to be the best team on that night. So you've got to wonder, you know, you think about, as a coach, it never bothered me. I always felt like most times that the best team was going to win. However, there's times that in my coaching time that we've gotten tripped up to by teams that I thought we were better than, but they were better than us on that night. I think playing a team three times in one season, Matt, do you think that may have came into any play with that game? Because you know the coaches. You know the coaches over at Floyd Central. They were bringing their A game all throughout the week. They were, you know, talking about it's hard to be a team three times. You got to get focused. It's hard for that. For 16, 17, 18-year-old kids, sometimes that's hard to dial in, you know, especially with the type of scores and the poundings that the Highlanders have put on Jeff during the regular season. They think they're going to show up and win. On the flip side, on the other side of that field, you got a staff that's hungry, kids that are hungry, feel like they're embarrassed because of the pounding they've taken during the season. They may be a little bit more dialed in coming through and able to take control of that game. And that's the one thing I thought that Jeff looked extremely sharp. I thought that they had an answer for everything that Floyd tried to throw at them. And again, it goes back to what we say. You don't have to be the best team. You just have to be the best team that night. And certainly Jeffersonville was the best team on Friday night.
Absolutely. Jeff and New Albany for the sectional championship game. New Albany maybe would be the favorite based on the regular season and their record, but the Bulldogs have a very odd situation themselves. they had the automatic bye, which basically every 5A in the team in the state had to start the postseason. They got another off week last Friday while Jeff and Floyd were playing because of Bedford dropping out of the tournament due to COVID. And so they'll go into a game, a sectional championship game against the Red Devil team playing some pretty good football with two consecutive weeks off. This could be a very interesting final coming up on Friday night.
Well, you don't think that the New Albany coaching staff is not beating that into their kids' heads every day at practice, you know. And I think you've tapered off. Now you've known, you know, you've tried to keep kids loose. You tried to keep kids healthy, which is your number one concern. And now you know who you're going to play. You're game planning. You're focused in. You're dialed in. And you're trying to come with your best game on Friday night. However, you know, when I was coaching, I never liked byes in the sectional. I wanted to play that Tuesday night game one because it gave us a chance to, you know, get the cobwebs out a little bit. It was an opportunity for another career win. It was an opportunity for kids to get some more points. It was an opportunity to just play. And I think any time the tournament starts, you want to be able to play. Now, football, a little bit different creature because you're playing once a week. But I would guess on this one that Jeffersonville is going to come out ready. You know, they're going to come out a little bit sharper, a little bit on top of their game. New Albany will have to adjust because it is hard to just shake those cobwebs off going into that, you know, right out of kickoff. Now, again, New Albany's coaches know that. New Albany's players know that. Will they be able to adjust and be able to rise to the occasion when it comes? You know, the one question, Matt, with Clark County, we're doing two tickets per player right now. And Jeffersonville scheduled to host that game. Will that game be something that goes to New Albany, where New Albany has a little bit more capacity in their crowd, or will that be something that Jeffersonville says, hey, you're coming to our field, we're going to protect our house, let's see what happens with two fans per parent. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in that as the week plays out.
Absolutely, Chad Gilbert, my guest. Chad, we've got less than a minute left, but girls basketball, which you know something about, won a state championship at Jeffersonville a number of years ago. The season officially begins this week, and yes, it's going to look different because of some attendance regulations and other things with the pandemic, but games are beginning, and I think after talking to all the coaches last week on our Media Day program, it's clear that Silver Creek and girls basketball is the favorite from the area.
Matt, one thing on that one before we just touch base on that, outstanding job on the preview. Wouldn't that be great if every, you know, tri-county in the state did something like that, a preview throughout, you know, every region in the state. I thought you did a great job. It'd be great to get those guys in. Silver Creek, one of two teams besides Clarksville not to win, to make it to the state finals, the MSC. This may be their year.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert. Chad, thank you. That's going to wrap things up for this Monday edition of the program. Back with you Tuesday. We do this weekdays at 11 a.m. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.